Today we're going to talk about an incredible word. It's a word that has affected my life in so many ways, and I hope you will find meaning with this word today. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14, and we're going to look at verses 35 and 36. And if you don't have your Bible, it's in your bulletin also, it'll be on overhead. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father. Now, let me share with you that word in our language, Abba, Father. It means Daddy, God. He's looking to God as his dad. He said, Daddy, God. Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but as thou wilt. You heard Dave give the reading. I think Cheryl wrote that reading. But you heard Dave give that reading on the word powerful, or the word nevertheless. There are dates, moments, words that have changed the course of history, but no word has changed the course of history more than that word, nevertheless. In the Old Testament, the original Hebrew of that word means a ceasing or an end, a finality, but in the New Testament Greek, we find in Luke's writing, the word nevertheless is used, and then we find it in Mark's writing. But in Luke's writing, here's what that word nevertheless means in the Greek. It actually means it serves to mark as a transition to something new. In Mark's writing, it actually means although the speaker does not want to yield or concede to circumstances, they have submitted their own will through the power of the word, nevertheless. It says, even though I don't want to, even though I'm afraid of, even though notwithstanding in spite of, it's taking all of those little phrases and it's saying, nevertheless, I am willing. You know, often we don't understand why we go through things. Many of you here today and you've encountered struggles in your life and you're like, okay, why do I have to go through what I'm going through? I've been there. I've experienced those emotions and struggles. And then at the same time, I've experienced another emotion at times of why am I as blessed as I am? See, we go between two phrases. You know, we all have more than we should have. That's true. Everybody here is blessed more than we should be blessed. If you really look at our depravity and what we are, we're blessed more than we should. But at the same time, blessed more than we should, there's this part of us, though, that misses and wants more and yearns for more and feels that there are things in life that we've missed or things in life that have happened. Maybe as a doctor's report says, hey, you know, here's what your prognosis is. And we're like, God, where? Why? I want more time. I want to do, or it can be a financial situation. It can be a relationship. Just somebody come in and say, you know, it's over. It's done. You're like, God, I didn't ask for this. Why? And we have to go to this place where it is this word nevertheless, because there's places in life that our future demands a response. And I really want you to understand that little phrase there. There are times in life that our future demands a response. Why does our future demand a response? Well, I want you to look at the first point in this today. The pivotal moment in every individual's life is when they refuse to shrink back from and they step up into. The pivotal moment in everybody's life is when they refuse to shrink back from and they step up into. Peter came to that point in his life when Christ appeared to him while he was fishing. In Luke chapter 5, this is the Luke statement on nevertheless, verse 4 and 6, it says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. Dr. Martin Luther King makes this powerful statement. He says, the ultimate measure of man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. That's the ultimate measure of a man. You see, Peter came to that in life, and he's looking and he's saying, okay, here's where I'm at. Yeah, you've never fished. You're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. I know what I'm doing. And I know the reason I'm doing it, and I know the method behind I'm doing it. And you really don't know this because you're a carpenter. Your vocation is in another area. And he's thinking and reasoning. See, there's two ways we make decisions in life. We make decisions by emotion, or we make decisions by reason. I think God plays tricks on us when we get our spouse, because somehow one is emotional and one is reasonable. And so it sets us up to have this incredible dialogue, some call it fussing, for the rest of our lives. Because the emotional one is saying this and the reasoning one is saying this. And God says, ha, played a trick with you. You fell in love. Now let's see if you can hang in there. And when it says iron sharpeneth iron, there's no place that happens like in a marriage, okay? But it's just reason. We make our decisions by one or the other, by choosing on the emotion, choosing on the reason. And God says, okay, life is a balance of emotions and reasons. It's not one or the other. It is a balance of the two. And if you have to use all reason, then your life is going to be drab and void. You're going to get depressed because you're good to the place in life where none of it makes sense. And that's what happens when you use all reason. You come to a place where nothing makes sense. And then if you base your life on all emotions and you choose to make your decisions emotionally, you get to the place to where life is chaos. You're trying to figure out, how do I make sense? So one, it doesn't make sense. The other one, you're trying to figure out, how can I make sense? And so we have to come together and we have to use the balance of reason. We have to use the balance of emotion. And that's why God puts us to where we can't live life alone. We can't live it alone. We have to have other people in our life. God designed it that way. If you're like me, there's times I would just like to get away. My mother used to have this saying. I don't even know if she ever knew where this place was. But when you got 10 children, most of them were not as good as me. But if you got 10 children and you're trying to make sense out of leading 10 children, and here she is, this widow, raising 10 kids. Every once in a while she'd say, I just want to go to Kalamazoo. She'd never been to Kalamazoo, and if she'd been there, she probably wouldn't want to go back. But I understand what she's saying. There's just sometimes I'd like to go to a place where no one knows me, and I don't know anyone, and I'd just like to get away from it all. And we want to escape. But God says, life escaped is not really life. Life is meant to be lived with other people. And so he puts us with other people. And inadvertently, here's the thing. If you'll listen to God, he will put you with people who will help you in life. He really will. He will put you with people who will help you. See, Dr. Blackaby says it this way. God speaks to us four ways. He speaks to us by his word. Now, I love it when God speaks to me by his word. But sometimes I'm just not listening good enough, and I don't hear it that way. And he says God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. I love it when God speaks to me by the Holy Spirit. But there are moments when I don't know if it's Holy Spirit or too much chili that I ate last night. I'm just not sure, okay? And then he said he speaks to us through other people. Wow. Sometimes I don't like what they've got to say and I don't like how they say it. But ultimately, God speaks to us through other people. And I'm going to tell you why that one's important. Because the fourth way God speaks to us is the painful one. God speaks to us through circumstances. So we have a choice in life. Listen to his word. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And if we've not got it that far, you better pay attention to what other people are saying. Because if you don't, circumstances will speak to your life. Now, is God against you? No, he's not against you. God is not against you. God is absolutely for you. And if you begin to understand that God is for me in every way of life, he is speaking to me and talking to me and trying to say something to me. The issue is not, is God speaking? The issue is, am I listening? That's where Jesus was at. He was at this place and he knew circumstances had pushed him. The Father had talked to him. He knew the word of the prophets. But sometimes even knowing God's word, we say, but that's not the way I want to go. And then the Holy Spirit comes along and we say, yeah, this is the way the Spirit's leading. But there comes the place where we get at that moment of circumstance and it is like, oh, never nevertheless. And everybody in life faces a nevertheless moment. And what is the nevertheless? It's the next step to your future. I want you to look at this next point. The nevertheless moments in our lives are when we remember God's dependability. If you don't remember God's dependability, the nevertheless moments will bring fear. It'll bring anxiety. Where am I going at in my life after right now? I've retired, or I've lost my job, or you know, it can be any number of things going on in your life, and you're looking at your life and you're trying to say, where do I go from here? What are the next steps that I take? And you got to get to that place where it says, God, this is where I have to trust you. Father Anthony Canieras relates this following story. He said, a father said to his son at the time, who was at the time going to give up. Son is trying and he's ready to give up. And the dad looks at him and he says, remember, son, the people who are well known are those who did not give up. Robert Fulton, inventor of the steamship. Thomas Edison, inventor of the light bulb. Eli Whitney, inventor of the cotton gin. And Isidore McPringle. And the boy said, who is Isidore McPringle? And the dad said, see, you never heard of him because he gave up. So you got to look at life and you got to say, do I give up? You just don't give up. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, 24 says, so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with God's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. And let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. And let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good work. You see, God has given us means. The sacraments are really means. That's what the sacraments are, the sacred moments. They're the sacraments that give us means. Baptism. Baptism will not save you. I know some churches teach in baptismal regeneration. You're not saved unless you're baptized. I don't think that's what the Bible teaches, but I will tell you what baptism is. Baptism is a means of grace that God has given us so we can understand you're cleansed. It's you're buried with him in baptism to come into a new life. Communion. Communion. Do you have to have communion to go to heaven? I don't think you do have to have communion to go to heaven. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven. There's a lot of things you don't have to do. But God says, I've given you these means to encourage you and strengthen you and to give you visible illustrations of how I want to be engaged into your life. And so communion is another means where communion is where we are renewed with Christ and we come and we have communion because that gives us, I have broken the covenant since I come to you, Lord. And communion is our opportunity. He never breaks the covenant. Communion is our opportunity for us to renew the covenant that we have with him. Now, understanding this, we get into this, and I love what Neil Maxwell says. God does not begin by asking about our ability, but only about our availability. And then if we prove our dependability, he will increase our capability. Now, when you look at the abilities right here, first look at ability. He's not looking at your ability. He's asking about availability. Are you available? And then are you dependable? And then if you are available and you are dependable, he will increase your capability. That's how God works in our life. It's God saying, look, I want to take you. And I want to cleanse you. I want you to understand you have the capacity to enter boldly. You have to get beyond the guilt. Get beyond the shame. That's what I came for. As long as you're trying to live life and you've got this cloud over you, you've got to get beyond the cloud. You got to understand I am cleansed. I am pure. Don't look back. Look into your future. You've got to keep looking into your future. And finally, a nevertheless can change a dialogue, a situation, a family, a nation, or a world. Nevertheless, it's like saying, in spite of the evidence and contrary to my own experience. See, that's where Peter was at. My experience tells me that I've done all I can do to catch the fish. And Jesus comes along and says, here's what you need to do. And he just begins to tell him, this is the next step. And Peter's like, I know what I'm doing. And so many times we think we know what we're doing. And God says, I put people around your life. And yeah, you may know what you're doing. But this time it's different. Why don't you listen? Why don't you listen? The Adam gene runs through the DNA of every human being. And that gene waits to shrink back from responsibility. That gene wants to place the blame for our disappointments, hurts, failures, and sins on someone else. And here's the bad news. We're all depraved sinners at heart. None of us are much different from each other. I mean, really, the person beside you, they got the same struggles that you've got. They may make it look a little better or make it look a little worse than you do. But the problem is we've all got the same stuff. And we're depraved human beings at our core. But here's the good news. The good news is Easter's about redemption. A new opportunity. A new opportunity to begin again. And that's what Jesus came. He says, here's the, you know, I made up my mind a long time ago. My job is not to get up on Sunday and make people feel insecure about their faith. My God, we have enough of that that happens Monday through Saturday. We don't need to feel insecure about our faith. Our purpose is to affirm what took place and say, yes, it was good enough. What he did was enough. Now live in the enough that God has and go on into the future that he has for you. Quit looking back. Quit looking back. Start looking forward. When we understand that as bad as I am, nevertheless, I am loved. As bad as I am, nevertheless, God acted on my behalf. And as bad as I am, nevertheless, I am redeemed by the resurrection. See, it is a resurrection. It is Easter. That makes Christianity different from all other religions. Even with the baggage that we human beings bring to Christianity, it's still a beautiful faith because of the resurrection. And only in Christianity did God do what we could not do for ourselves. And only in Christianity did Christ excuse us for what we could not live up to. You know, people say, well, I like Christianity because it stands for morality. Can I tell you this? Hang around some Christians for a while and you're going to find they struggle with morality like everybody else does. Christianity is not about how good you are. Christianity is based on what God did, period. You can be a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Hare Krishna and you can be a good person, but it's not about how good you are. It's about redemption, what Christ did. If it's based on us, the pressure's on us. But thank God it's based on him. So guess who the pressure was on? Him. And he bore it all. He took everything so we would not have to. It's not based on how good I am. It's based on how great he was. And because of his greatness, it relieves me of the pressure. 1 Corinthians 15:1-2 says, let me remind you, brothers, of what the gospel really is, for it has not changed. It is the same good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then and still do now, for your faith is squarely built on this wonderful message. And it is this good news that saves you if you firmly believe it, unless, of course, you never really believed it in the first place. And I want to finish out with this last statement. Nevertheless, it's not a quitter statement. It is a conqueror statement. It's not a quitter statement. Some people say, well, if I say nevertheless, then they're going to think I'm weak. No, 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 no. That's how my mother says it, okay? As Arlene, when she really make it a point, no, 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 no. And let me tell you, it's the conqueror statement. And when you understand that it's a conqueror statement, it's okay to not have to be right all the time. And it's okay that when you get to that moment of life and that you don't know what to do and your reasoning mind has never You know, it's at the place where reasoning is, it has brought you to the end of yourself, or it's at the place to where emotionally you don't know how to make another decision. God wants you to look and say, I'm bringing a nevertheless into your life because it's the beginning of your new future. It's the beginning. Ephesians 3:20 says, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or we might think. Cole Mullins wrote a song, and every once in a while I grab these words and I just put them out so I can look at them. It says, who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? Who taught the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide until the evening, whose words alone can catch a falling star? I know my Redeemer lives. Then she went on and said, the very same God who spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak. And the same gentle hands that took me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory. I know my Redeemer lives. Wherever you're at in life and whatever decisions you've got to make, he's big enough and he's good enough. You say, well, I've never seen God as good. Take away every bad image you've had of authorities in your life and all the people that's hurt you and all the people that's caused you pain. He's none of that. He's a good God. And Easter's a reminder of his goodness. And when I see the sun shining, I see people smiling. My daughter brought me to church this morning. We were so excited. We passed a little rabbit by the road, and I said, Peter wants to go to church too. Let's get him, you know. It's a good day. Because why? My Redeemer. He lives. And there's a better life, and whatever disappointments you've had, there's a better life for you. And whatever pain you've had, there's better choices for you. And if you've not had pain, you don't have to go live waiting for the pain. Just remember, he lives. And because he lives, he wants to affirm me, he wants to speak to me. In moments of my life when the decisions are hard and I don't know what to do and I'm trying to figure it all out and nothing's making sense, he wants you to do what he did and say, nevertheless. Let's pray. Father, today I ask your Holy Spirit to speak to us. I ask your Spirit to speak to us, Lord. Each individual has different needs, different challenges, different decisions to make. But we all have to make decisions, and there's a future for everyone here. And the future's really good. Give us the ability to make statements that launch us into our future instead of making us look into the past. Give us the ability to see that that nevertheless moment in your life looked like the end to many, but it was the beginning for the world. And we have to walk in those same steps in our life. And you want to encourage us and strengthen us in that. In Jesus' name. Can everyone say amen? Today, if you have never accepted what God offers to you, I encourage you to accept the faith that he gives to you and say, I believe. If you would like prayer, I'm here at the front. We got deacons at the front. We'll pray with you. If you would like communion, our deacons are always here to offer communion. If you have a prayer need, you can write it over here and just put it in those little slots in the wall. We'll be praying for your prayer needs all week. May God bless you. May he keep you. And may his face shine upon you. You're dismissed in Christ's name. Amen.